Prepare the way of the Lord, be ready for his return and or your graduation. Remember, for us, our physical death is just like graduation for a university student. They stop studying and they start applying what they've learned in the working world out there. And so sometimes when we speak of the physical death of a child of God, we speak of the graduation. It's like a caterpillar going to cocoon and coming out a butterfly. Shade for the caterpillars that are left behind, but the butterfly is flying free. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to prepare the way for our Messiah's return. Help us to encourage the fathers to turn to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Help us to encourage people to be prepared, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Luke 1:12-17, TPT. Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel reassured him, saying, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God is showing grace to you. For I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him, and he will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine or strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even while still in his mother's womb. And he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner, with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers in tenderness back to their children, and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing." Now we know that our Redeemer is the King of Kings. It says so in Revelation 17, verse 14, in KJV. "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful." He's also referred to as King of Kings in 1 Timothy 6:15. There were some aristocratic people from the East who recognized that he is the King. We see this in Matthew 2, verse 1-2 in KJV. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" So these guys are referred to wise men. Some translations refer to them as kings. Wise or royalty, either way, that's quite a title. And they are the ones that brought the three types of gifts to Jesus as a toddler or young infant: the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It doesn't mean there were three of them. There might have been more, because traveling large distances in those days was kind of dangerous. So there might have been more than three. And they might even have had bodyguards riding with them. We don't know. It doesn't say. We do know that they were carrying treasures, and they would have been targets of any roadside bandits. And we know there were those around because of the story of the Good Samaritan. So, yeah, that's got nothing to do with today's scripture. So that's just an aside. These people are referred to in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 4 verse 30 in KJV. "Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt." So it seems that the men of the East were known for their wisdom. The only reason these guys were important is because they recognized the arrival of the King of Kings as a baby on planet Earth. Now, a king is normally announced before the time. When a king comes to visit a city or a country, there are normally people that travel ahead to announce the arrival of said king. And we hear about this in Malachi 3, verse 1, TPT. "Behold, I am sending my messenger, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord whom you long for will enter his temple. The messenger of the covenant, your soul's delight, will certainly come, says Yahweh, commander of angel armies." So we see that Jesus, the King of Kings, has a forerunner, someone preparing the way before him. It's also mentioned in Malachi 4, verse 5-6, amplified, with specific reference to Elijah. "Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, a reconciliation produced by repentance, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse of complete destruction. Now we know God does not want destruction for us. In fact, He doesn't want it for anybody. And the proof of that pudding is in John 3, verse 16, Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, that He even gave His one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in Him as Saviour shall not perish, but have eternal life. So God is making a way for us to avoid the destruction that we deserve. We deserve to land up in hell because we have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:21-24, TPT. But now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the Scriptures prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in Him receive that gift. For there is really no difference between us, for we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Yet through His powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away His righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. So we don't get the punishment we deserve, and we do get the mercy we don't deserve, the beauty, the holiness, the wonder, the glory that we don't deserve, all because of God's amazing, wonderful, astounding love. The disciples were your stock standard Israeli boys growing up, going to school, and so by the time they met Jesus, they had a fair understanding of the Scriptures. And this is why they asked Jesus certain questions, as in Matthew 17, verse 10-13. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that He spoke to them of John the Baptist. And again, this is mentioned in Matthew 11, verse 14. "And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come." That was also talking about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was asked the question himself. We see that in John 1:21 in KJV. And they asked Him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not. Are you the prophet?" And He answered, "No." Now, we've established that John the Baptist is coming in the spirit and anointing of Elijah. But he himself was not Elijah. Elijah is a different human being to John the Baptist. The reason John answered no when they asked, "Are you Elijah?" is shown in Luke 9:28-31. "Now it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, that he took Peter, John, and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." So here is Elijah talking to Jesus. So while John the Baptist did come in the spirit and anointing of Elijah, he was not the same person as Elijah. And that's why when they said, "Are you Elijah?" he said, "I'm not." And that's when he gave his famous speech about being the voice calling out for people to turn to God. John wasn't an ordinary man. He was dedicated from the womb, much like Samson in the Old Testament. Read about this in Luke 1, verse 14-17, TPT. "His birth will bring you much joy and gladness. Many will rejoice because of him, and he will be one of the great ones in the sight of God. He will drink no wine or strong drink, but he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even while still in his mother's womb. And he will persuade many in Israel to convert and turn back to the Lord their God. He will go before the Lord as a forerunner, with the same power and anointing as Elijah the prophet. He will be instrumental in turning the hearts of the fathers in tenderness back to their children, and the hearts of the disobedient back to the wisdom of their righteous fathers. And he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing." So it seems that John the Baptist had quite a significant job to do. He was given the task of letting the people know that the kingdom of heaven is near, that Jesus is on his way, and they need to get ready, they need to repent and ready their hearts to receive the message that Jesus was about to teach them, and that they would eventually become children of God once Jesus had laid down his life, made the sacrifice, paid the price, so that we can take that adoption offered by our loving Heavenly Father and respond to his love by loving him back. Remember Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. That whole sacrifice was sufficient for all sins, past, present, and future. So, when the people were listening to John the Baptist, they were not born-again believers as we are today, but they were opening their heart to God's message. And once the price was paid, they became born-again believers, those who truly responded and repented. So why make such a big deal about John the Baptist? Well, in my humble opinion, we are living in the era of John the Second, if you want to put it that way. I believe that we are living very close to the end times and the return of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Could be any day. It could be in 100 years' time, but it could be any day now. I know people have been saying that for many years, and it's true, because for God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. But the fact of the matter is that whether it's because of his return or if it's because of your physical death, you need to be ready to meet him face to face every day, because we don't know how long our lives are going to be. We don't know if we're going to live to be 100 or 103, but we do know that once we've drawn our last breath on this planet, our time of choosing is over. That's why we need to choose while we still have life, while we still have air in our lungs. Let us choose to accept that free gift of salvation given to us by our loving Redeemer, our loving Heavenly Father, our loving Holy Spirit, and let us be willing to prepare the way of the Lord. Let us let people know. Let us tell people. Let us share his love with other people. They need God more than they need the oxygen that they breathe. Because the oxygen that they breathe will one day cease. And every living human being, apart from two, that was Elijah and Enoch, and apart from those who are alive when Jesus returns to fetch his bride, every human being will experience physical death, apart from those cases. So, be ready for it. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when your heart will do a flutter that's bigger than a flutter and it's a heart attack. We just don't know. So help other people to prepare and prepare the way of the Lord, because he is coming back. And those of us who have accepted him will greet that news with joy. And those that reject him will greet that news with fear and dread. Please, let us prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the Way of the Lord by David Haskell.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
And as you prepare the way for our loving Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to return, shine your light.